Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Welcome back to FST. It's hour number two. Mike Blewett and Joe Gallina. First time ever for us to do an entire show together, Joe. I think the first hour went well. How would you grade it? Would you give us like somewhere in a B range, or are we going, we're going for like a 4.0 here? What do we got?
4.0, baby. 4.0. Yeah, we're making radio history.
That's right. That's right. So we're going to have Emory Hunt coming up in about 20 minutes. He'll do some NFL draft stuff with us. Emory can be found on Twitter at FBallGamePlan and is a really just sharp draft analyst. He and I have done a myriad draft shows together in past years. He currently works for The Athletic, and he also does some additional broadcasting as well. So we'll get into that when he's on here in the next 20 minutes. But it is that time of year, Joe. We had a little bit of a lull after the combine, but now it's fast and furious with draft talk, and we can apply it to fantasy, but we can just talk NFL in general. What is your thought process on what the Cardinals are going to do? I haven't heard your take on it. Do you think they stand pat and they are driving up the draft price for Kyler Murray? Or do you think that this is really what they consider to be a match made in heaven and they're going to deal Rosen and draft Murray? What are your thoughts?
I'm thinking that they deal Rosen and draft Murray. I mean, you know, Kingsbury, while he was still a college coach, you know, was talking Murray up. And, you know, Rosen's not his guy, let's face it. I mean, and it's going to be interesting to see where Rosen ends up. I mean, hey, look, you know, I'm a Giants fan. If I'm the Giants and, you know, he's not, it's not going to cost them too much in a trade, maybe like a third round pick or something. I mean, you know, I don't know what you feel that, you know, his value is, Mike, but
it's tricky.
The Giants, yeah,
it's tricky because they are having to play both sides of this now, saying that here's my thoughts. When I talked with George Kurtz about this probably 6 weeks ago or so. And I just the thought process of the Cardinals to bring a brand new NFL head coach in here, a guy that got fired by a college program less, you know, just a few months ago, to have him come in here, you would have to understand that you're taking this job to work with Josh Rosen. During the interview process, that has to be part of it. That I can come in here and get Josh to where he is a quality NFL starter. The talent's there. We just surrounded him with a terrible offensive line and bad play calling, and we fired offensive coordinators, and the head coach was a bad fit from the start. He was literally set up to fail last year. So now, during the interview process, you have to accomplish the goal of finding a guy that can work with Rosen. The guy can't come in there and say, hey, we have Murray available. I think we should deal. Like, that can't be part of the interview. That you can't come in there and trash the current starter. The thought process has to be to work with Rosen. Now, if things have changed and the general manager thinks that, well, we've watched as much as we can watch on Rosen and we think Murray's an upgrade, then I guess that can happen. It just seems odd to me that this is all coming together because Kyler Murray decided to play football.
But I agree with you, but at the same time, you know, the actions of the Cardinals might have led Kingsbury to believe that, hey, you know, they might be able to be convinced if I tell them, look, you know, I feel that we have a better chance of becoming a winning team quicker without Rosen. You know, I mean, look what they did. I mean, they got rid of their head coach after 1 year. I mean, so it doesn't really it doesn't seem to some for someone looking at this team from the outside that they had a really good plan in mind.
They clearly did not. I think Steve Wilks is put in a really bad scenario, but yes. I will say this. When he was hired last year, I didn't like the hire, not because of Steve Wilks. I didn't like the hire because you are hiring a first-time defensive-minded head coach to work with a team that was basically ripped down to the studs outside of David Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald, and a brand-new rookie quarterback, Patrick Peterson notwithstanding. So for them to pit a defensive coordinator, have him work with Mike McCoy, and they hadn't worked together before, and then make a change after a month because McCoy wasn't working out. Wilks was in an impossible situation. There wasn't enough talent there, and it was the last hire of the season. I just thought that they hired the guy whose name had come up enough times, and I thought it was bad for Rosen. I thought it was bad for Wilks. I just didn't like the whole situation. So that's part A of the plan going wrong. Part B is the lack of talent that we're protecting the players like Rosen and David Johnson. And now part number three is taking a guy who's a hot offensive mind, but really, honestly, he did just get fired for not being productive in college. He, in fact, had Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray. He sort of lost him in the recruiting process or had him on campus and they left campus. So to some extent, he wasn't even successful keeping those guys around. But he did work with Pat Mahomes, and I think that's what people fell in love with. This is the guy that made Mahomes. That's what people are attributing to Cliff Kingsbury. So I don't know that it's going to work out, but this is going to be the really most curious part. It is tough for them. They are trying to have to play both sides. Maybe they are just driving the price up, but as you sift through all of it, you still think that maybe they just have this love affair with Murray. I honestly think that the Giants should be on the phone with them. I think that's a second or third round pick that they have to give up, and it's a no-brainer for them. Then they don't actually have – well, first of all, the Giants are a mess right now.
Yeah, I think
that's
so.
Obvious. And they're already throwing out the Eli can still play stuff. Like you see those stories are circulating. And I do think, I've said before, I think the Eli bashing has gotten out of control. It isn't all his fault, but it is time to move on. Not everybody is going to play till they're 40, like Breeze and Brady. Eli can hang in there. He could stick around till 40. But guys are not all going to be effective until they're 42. You know what I mean? We have to make decisions still based historically on how long guys last and how they start to break down and everything else. I think playing quarterback has gotten easier. That may be a controversial opinion, but I actually think it's easier to play quarterback now than ever before. The way
the
offenses are
rules,
run, protection.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, yes, guys can play longer, but I think it's enough. He's had a great run. He's been the starting quarterback for 15 years. It's okay to move on. And it's not offensive to Eli to say that we're going to go in a new direction. You can stick on the team this year. We're going to make this trade for Rosen. And there's going to be a QB competition. It's all right for him after 15 years to have to earn his $22 million salary.
Yeah, no, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I mean, as a Giants fan, you know, I love Eli. He brought us the two Super Bowls, two Super Bowl MVPs. You know, some of it was, you really can't call it luck when you win two Super Bowl MVPs, but the Tyree catch, you know, off the helmet and whatnot. But I agree with you. Look, you know, the guy, he's not the guy that he once was and who it is, when you look at a guy from 25 to, 38 years old. I agree with you, look, he's had some issues, obviously, with the offensive line. But even when he has had time to throw, look, he's not making crisp throws anymore. I don't think he should have ever been benched for Geno Smith.
I agree with that.
But maybe another young quarterback, sure. But here's a question for you. Let's say if they do trade for Rosen, do you think that they should make it a competition and not make it a situation where almost like Eli's transition, where Kurt Warner, was the starter for like a quarter or a half of the season? I don't remember.
Yeah,
but
yeah. It's like
and
seven,
then Rosen
seven
was
games.
Brought in. Yeah. I mean, I guess. guess it's a little bit of a different situation because Rosen has several starts under his belt now.
Yes, but, yes. The goal really would be to have Rosen in there if you're making that mm-hmm. move. You're not going to have Rosen
from day one
to learn from Eli. You can bring him in here in April. By August, he should be ready to play. He's already played. And he was thought to be – he was a first-round draft pick last year. I think what's happening to him sort of in the media circles is unfair because it puts – for a guy who was set up to fail last year, it's putting him in a bad yes. light as if he's been a failure. It isn't his mm-hmm. fault. I can't tell you for certain that Josh Rosen is going to be a lockdown starter, but I also can't tell you about Sam Darnold and Josh Allen or anybody else. I can't, mm-hmm. you know, or Lamar Jackson for that matter. Baker's the only right. one that, like, hey, man, he did it on the field. The resume is there, and you probably feel better about Baker than any of these guys, and I would have told you to draft Darnold first last year. So the only thing I'd say is if the Giants are grading this year's quarterbacks, and they obviously graded Rosen last year, and he comes out ahead of all of these guys, then they got to make that move. Give up a second-round pick, trade down in the first round of the draft, get multiple picks, and build this team back up. I just think that's the way to go, personally, but there's a lot of factors there. Beckham thing makes no sense, especially on the heels of them signing Golden Tate and giving him money. Right. It makes no sense. They could have drafted a quarterback or traded for Rosen this year, had an offense surrounding him, and then just hammered defense for the next two off seasons in order to get mm-hmm. better. Instead, now it looks like they're going to waste the early part of Saquon Barkley's career.
That's the scary part as a Giants fan. You know, running backs typically have 5 to 7 prime years, you know, yeah. and I'm not saying that's going to happen with Saquon, but it's definitely a concern. And back to Rosen, let's say, you know, a second round or third round pick for Rosen. And let's say it doesn't work out. Let's say the Giants still end up 3-13. Well, then they could just say, you know, cut ties. And supposedly, isn't next year's quarterback class a lot stronger than this year's?
You're going to have Tua Tagovailoa. You'll have yeah. Jalen Hurts. You're going to have some guys in there.
If you still like the guy from Oregon, Hebert.
Yes, Justin
I don't
Herbert.
If you still like him. Yeah.
Justin Herbert. Yeah. He could be there. There were thoughts that he was going to be a first-round draft pick this year, but mm-hmm. he decided to go back. It's fine. I think he'll only improve his status. So, you know, you look to your point about guys only having a small window like that. That really, as talented as Saquon Barkley is, you can't assume that he's going to have a 12 or 15 year career. You can't. So I just think that when
not
you
everybody's
pick him,
Frank Gore,
right? When you pick him, that's right. When you pick him second, that means that you – so here's the problem with the whole thing. We've talked about the Giants so much recently, but it is important to know. When you're drafting Saquon Barkley second and signing Nate Solder in the offseason, I can tell from the outside that you think you're going to win now.
Yes.
That's what that draft pick means. And mm-hmm. It's not honest. That is not having integrity about your roster. The Giants were not a team that could win a championship last year. Going into the season, you knew that. But they thought yes. that they could. And it all fell apart really quick. And then they had to rip it all down. And there was no reason to do the Odell thing. Everything related to Odell, they got wrong. I don't need to belabor that. But that's really the issue. So you thought you could win now. And a few months later, you're like, well, I don't know. I don't think we can win right now. We probably shouldn't have drafted this running back that we pay a whole bunch of money to, and we can't really win with him. Mm-hmm. It's not Saquon's fault. He's uber talented, but they didn't need to do it. So anyway, that plays into the whole draft thing with the Giants. I do think they should be a team that could consider Rosen, move back for multiple picks. You have a lot of teams in the NFL draft this year, Cardinals included, that may be looking to move down. You know, the Niners could, but it seems like the Niners are obsessed with getting one of these defensive linemen. Ed Oliver had an impressive pro day the other day. Ed Oliver, the defensive lineman out of Houston. He was a top prospect out of high school. He was productive at Houston. There was an incident with the coach earlier this year that I don't think is going to follow him into the draft. I think it actually had an impact in the way he was being evaluated early in the draft process. But after people see these workouts, go back and look at the tape, I think they're going to realize that he is a top 10 talent, and he is a guy that could probably rise to draft boards and be a top 5 pick, maybe even as high as number 2 to the Niners, who are have really hammered defensive line in drafts in recent years, but look like they're looking for another one and somebody that can continue to add to the pass rush. They added Dee Ford this offseason, so maybe that takes care of it. But a lot of different types of defensive a lot of teams looking for defensive linemen.
Yes.
It's a particularly deep draft as well.
Yeah, that's a, you know, defensive line important, offensive line important. Everyone, you know, focuses on, you know, the quarterbacks, the wide receivers, and obviously the running backs, but you need a solid defensive line, no doubt.
Yeah. And, you know, the Dallas Cowboys made a trade for Robert Quinn earlier this week, addressing their defensive mm-hmm. line woes. The Cowboys working on an extension for DeMarcus Lawrence. So let's see. What's the latest? Yeah, they have the franchise tag on him. It's going to cost them at least $29.6 million to franchise him a third time if they were to do it next year. So projected contract details for him look like a 6-year, $132 million deal.
Wow.
Would you do that for DeMarcus Lawrence?
Yeah.
The guy of his talent, I think I would.
Yeah. Jadeveon Clowney, 6 years, 138 is kind of the projection you're looking at there, too. So
yeah,
those are a couple of big defensive linemen that will impact how teams are dealing with it, dealing with this offseason. Is that somebody that can get to free agency next year? Dallas, I think, is just locked in. They have to figure something out with Lawrence because they got nothing else. Randy Gregory, obviously, indefinitely suspended. This Robert Quinn thing is patching up some holes, but that isn't your strategy. You need DeMarcus Lawrence back in here.
I agree wholeheartedly, man. Couldn't say it much better, my friend.
Yeah. So we got Emory Hunt coming up here. We're gonna do NFL draft stuff. What is one thing for you personally that you get excited about for the NFL draft?
Watching the commissioner get booed. See his reaction. It's like
David Stern was always good about it with the NBA draft because it was always done with a wink and a nod and kind of it was a running joke. It's obviously not a joke with Goodell. A lot of people out there dislike the guy. He takes a lot of bullets for the owners, he's not particularly good in front of the media. So
makes money for him.
It'll be in Nashville this year. Yeah. Should be a big party there. Yeah. That draft is just
Nashville party town.
25 days away, so we'll have Emory Hunt on after the break to talk about it. Yeah, so we'll be right back on FST. Mike Blewett, Joe Galina with Emory Hunt coming up next.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Yeah, there you go. All right. I like that. I like that. Yeah, sound dope.
You want to fight? Come fight me. I hit you with the pop. Wow, a little Shaq boo. To get it started. Who better to enter the arena to this song than my man Emory Hunt? You can find Emory Hunt on Twitter at FBallGamePlan. He writes for The Athletic as well. He and I have done a ton of draft coverage together, so we're excited to have you on. What's up, Emory? A little Shaq Fu for you.
Oh, man, I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, no problem, man. So we were just talking about the whole Kyler Murray thing, what the Cardinals are going to do, all that kind of stuff. We can talk about that as well, but I want to kick it off because Ed Oliver had this really impressive pro day. You and I talked about him really early in the process about how we thought that everybody would kind of come back to their senses and not worry about can he play at this weight in the NFL and what happened with the coach down in Houston. We thought that stuff would wipe away. And I would gather, my guess is that we will start to see him rise from what's being projected to be kind of a mid first round pick into that top 10. Do you feel the same way?
Definitely. I think his floor, honestly, is Buffalo. If he's on the clock when Buffalo is there at pick 9, I think they'd be hard for us to pass him up. So I think we're starting to see now people come to their senses, like you said, because remember, prior to this season, he was everybody's easily first pick overall. It didn't matter who was,
That's right.
Who would have had the first pick. It was Ed Oliver. And, you know, and so now to see him to drop a little bit, but then start to rise, he always been a top 10 talent. And I think we'll see that come draft night.
Hey, Emery, Joe, thanks for joining us this morning. Wide receivers in the draft. I mean, DK Metcalf getting lots of attention. He's got the physique of a He-Man, of course. But a couple of the guys that I've noticed that are being projected as potential first-round targets in the draft, like a Hakeem Butler or a Paris Campbell. Who do you think would be a first-round wide receiver that might have easiest transition into an NFL scheme?
That's a great question. I think it would be any one of your slot receivers. So you look at Paris Campbell, like you mentioned, A.J. Brown of Ole Miss. Those guys, to me, would have the easier transition because they're going to be the third option in an offense. They're going to find themselves against third cornerbacks, and they're going to be able to pick and choose where they settle down in zone and get the ball and utilize their great run out of the catch skills. So I think it's the slot receivers having the more immediate impact over the guy that you're going to see lined up on the outside.
That's a really good point. I think people underrate how much more complex NFL schemes can be for receivers and how they have to learn the route tree, obviously develop chemistry with the starting quarterback. I think that is an underrated part of evaluating the wide receivers. People just see that, for example, DK Metcalf blows the combine apart. But we really don't know, Emery, what his ability will be to ingest and then produce in an NFL offense. The physical talent is a given. Those are table stakes for all wide receivers. His is an elite level, but we don't really know the other stuff that comes with it. We saw an Ole Miss wide receiver in Laquon Treadwell who has not made the transition, for example.
Yeah, and you never really know with these guys as far as what offense you're going to go to. That always adds a little bit of guesswork to it, you know. So, and you look at guys like Andy Isabella, would he be better suited to play on the outside, or would he fit in, let's say, the Browns offense, or would you rather see him in the Saints offense or the Rams offense or the Patriots offense? So it all goes to where you go, and I think certain teams really utilize the slot position well. You see how a guy like Cooper Kupp thrived in the slot for the Los Angeles Rams, and you know, you saw how Cole Beasley thrived there with the Cowboys. And so I think when you look at that position and certain receivers, if you're a slot receiver and you land in the more ideal spot, you're going to thrive more so than guys on the outside. So I would probably keep a close eye on those slot receivers that are entering the draft.
Hey, Emery, tell us how you think that the Patriots draft strategy might be affected by the news, of course, that Gronkowski retired. I mean, not only was he in his heyday, you know, the top target of Tom Brady's, but in the latter part of his career, he did a really good job blocking for them, too. So do you think that are they going to be looking for, like, early in the draft for, wide receiver? Is tight end necessarily on their radar? What do you think that they focus on first? I mean, they have tons of picks.
Yeah, they have tons of picks, and I think they have luxury of really taking who they want when they want them, and won't let need dictate that. Now, with that said, you know, they could come away with three tight ends in this draft, and because I say three because I grade them by three different positions: inline, flex tight end, H-back, and you can make a case that they could utilize all three. Now, they do have some guys on the roster that were there last year, like Ryan Izzo out of Florida State, Jacob Hollister, who you know, they like a lot, and they brought in Matt Lacoste, a free agency, and they already have Steven Anderson on the roster. So they have some guys, but if they have a chance to get a game breaker, I think they're going to take the game breaker and then work with these guys that they already have on the roster that have already been familiar with their system.
I totally agree. I think they're sitting under 32. As Joe said, they have all these other picks. Last year, they made some moves. They grabbed Isaiah Wynn, and they grabbed Sony Michel. They made moves in the first round. This year, if they feel like the tight end market is already passed by and they're not going to trade up because somebody else is thinking about taking Irv Smith and Hockenson and Font are already gone, then they'll just move out of that pick, Emery, and they'll acquire some more, and they'll figure something out midseason. They'll just package those into getting a veteran tight end somewhere.
Or you may see them take a chance on a defensive lineman that could be falling because of injury and not because of talent, and Jeffrey Simmons out of Mississippi State. That would be a perfect spot to take him and allow him to slowly come back, and now you have a top-10 talent that you got at pick 32.
Yeah, again, this is Emery Hunt at F-Ball Game Plan on Twitter. So, all right, we have to talk quarterbacks at least for a minute or two. Now Kyler Murray has gummed up the works. I don't know what the Cardinals are going to do. Is it a love affair? Are they driving up the price? I tend to think it's a love affair if you're asking me to pick what they're going to do. But they're playing both sides of it. Joe and I just spent 15 minutes talking about it. They're trying to shop Rosen and evaluate Murray at the same time. But Drew Lock is now being described as arm talent that is off the charts, which is a highly overused term. But give me your sense of what you really feel about Drew Lock in particular.
I like Drew Lock, but I like Drew Lock like I like Derek Carr. You know, they're a good player, you know, and would I take Derek Carr top 10? Probably not. But would I take him in the first round? Absolutely. So I think Drew Lock, what's been underrated by him is how better he got this year as far as situationally. Now, he was just really throwing the football. He was a see-it-throw-it type of a passer last year. This year he picked and chose his spots where he wanted to be aggressive, and that's why you see the better – completion percentage, the better touchdown interception ratio, the low interception number. So he really got better, and that's a great thing because you want to see a guy trekking in the right direction heading into the NFL. So I do think he's a first-round pick. I also believe Will Greer's the first-round pick. The one guy I don't feel as though is the first-round pick but will probably end up going is Daniel Jones out of Duke. So I do think if you get Drew Lock, you know, if you're Washington, you're Miami, if you're even a team like New England at pick 32, if he's falling down the board like that, those are some teams that I look at and say, hey, that would be a good spot for Drew Lock. Even if you're Cincinnati and you want to take a quarterback, I think Drew Lock could be a guy that you should feel comfortable with taking if you're ready to move on from Andy Dalton.
So continuing on discussion about quarterbacks, I mean, you've probably been asked this on numerous shows or whatnot, but what do you think Kyler Murray's chances of becoming a productive NFL quarterback are? You know, this obviously the discussion about his height. I mean, the guy's got a tremendous arm, tremendous skill set and whatnot. Do you think that he has what it takes? And what will it take for him to have success in the NFL?
I think he definitely has what it takes. And I'm so glad we're at the point now. We're talking about a 5'10 quarterback going number one overall, because if you follow football game plan since 2007, we have championed the thought that size is not a skill. And it's funny to see everyone start to come around to it when we've said this for over a decade now. And I think he's going to step in and play really well. I compared his game to Russell Wilson coming out of NC State. The reason why I use that comparison is because when Wilson was coming out of NC State, Wilson was a little bit more of a scrambler, making plays off script and doing a lot of things outside the pocket. But when he went to Wisconsin, he was able to smooth out his game and polish up his game and be a little bit more patient in the pocket and making throws. I think you're going to see that same type of transition for Kyler Murray. Now, he's going to have the luxury of doing it in the NFL. So I would say he's going to make a lot of splash plays as a rookie. He's going to be good. Where he has to get better is consistency on his accuracy. I think he can get away from him a little bit. Deep ball, he's fine, but the short to intermediate stuff, it can get away from him. You saw a little bit of that at the pro day. But I still think he's a top 10 talent. And I'm always big on quarterbacks that can make it an 11-on-11 game. And you saw him rush for 1,000 yards last year in the Big 12. I think that's the reason why you look at what he does, what Lamar Jackson did last year. With guys like that can buy time and make things happen, That's why you want a Kyler Murray. And I'm not surprised to see him being talked about as a top pick.
It's funny that you mentioned Russell Wilson transitioning to Wisconsin. It's amazing what a lockdown offensive line can do for you, right? It keeps you more patient. And it did allow Wilson to develop his pocket passing ability. He's obviously an extremely talented player, but moving from NC State, Emory, to Wisconsin, which NC State has developed some pretty good offensive linemen in their own right, but Wisconsin historically produces a ton of NFL offensive linemen, and I'm sure some of them played in front of Russell Wilson while he was a senior there. I guess, so that's point one. Point two, my only concern about Murray, or my major concern about Murray, is the lack of starting experience. Those guys historically don't project well. Now, he is a very unique case because he is a uber-talented multi-sport star. So I think he's not going to be a deer in headlights. I don't see that happening to him because he's been able to carry himself in such a unique way. But I do get a little concerned. I have to apply the same mentality to when I was worried about Trubisky to that I'm worried about Murray. I understand there's different talents there, but I'm worried about guys that don't have that many starts under their belt, Emory.
Yeah, I mean, you do worry about that. You don't want to get a guy that's a flash in the pan. But we've seen guys that have had 1 year of starting experience get drafted very high. And here's the thing with Mitch Trubisky, is the guy I'm alluding to. You look at Trubisky's 1 year at North Carolina, it was okay. I mean, it was 75. He had an okay touchdown interception ratio. I mean, he was decent. He had a good upset against Florida State, but he wasn't spectacular in his 1 year. So if you're spectacular in your 1 year, a la Cam Newton, a la what we've seen from Kyler Murray, what we've seen from Dwayne Haskins, I think you have a better chance of carrying that over, because if you fall back to the mean, your mean is still going to be very good. When you had Trubisky, who was okay in North Carolina, go into the league and fall back to the mean, he was below average. So I think because they were so spectacular and because they do have the ultimate get-out-of-jail-free card, which is their athleticism, it kind of helps the game slow down for them and helps them make the transition a lot easier, because we've seen that the game sort of trek toward your quarterback better have some level of pocket mobility. And Trubisky has that, which is why he was able to have a better season this past year with the Bears. And he was really able to get himself out of a jam a lot and extend plays and hit plays deep down the field. So if you have that get out of jail free card, it gives you an opportunity to let the game slow down and to get your passing up to where your running is as a player.
All right, so Emory, looking at a lot of these mocks that are being done ahead of the draft, I mean, obviously quarterbacks are projected to be taken, a couple of wide receivers, lots of defense, some offensive linemen. What about running backs in the first round? Is basically Josh Jacobs, the guy that you think is going to go? I mean, are there more than one running backs that you think that deserve to go in the first round?
If there was one running back that I would take in the first round, it would be Darrell Henderson out of Memphis.
Love him.
Because I am of the mindset, can you score from anywhere on the field? And that's the guy I want running the football. And so if it's all about touchdowns and scoring points and putting the ball in the end zone, to me, that's the guy you want. And I know everyone is talking about Josh Jacobs. He has good talent. But he's a guy that only averaged six or seven carries a game. So I think he's probably best suited as a complimentary guy. But I do like the fact that you get a player like a Darrell Henderson who can legit be a Chris Johnson type player if given the opportunity, because he has legit home run hitting speed. So if there was any running back in the first round, I would take Darrell Henderson.
Okay, last question for you. One guy either in the first round or sniffing around the first round right now that people are still just kind of sleeping on right now. Like maybe they get drafted late first round or second round and you think, like, why are people not seeing that this guy's going to be a superstar?
I would say Isaiah Buzz, the defensive lineman out of Alabama. I just find it interesting when you watch Alabama play. Quinnen Williams is excellent, but no one talks about number 49 that's out there disrupting things all the time. And I think Isaiah Buzz has a really good opportunity to be an impact player wherever he lands. He's probably going to be a second-round pick, but wherever he goes, he's going to be a guy that's going to make an all-rookie team at the end of the season. I think he's got phenomenal talent.
Good stuff. So, as always, you'll find Emory Hunt here on Saturdays with us. I'll be checking in with him for some more draft coverage here over the next month. Draft is only 25 days away. Find Emory on Twitter at FBallGamePlan. Thanks for joining us, bud. We'll talk to you again soon.
Anytime. Appreciate you guys.
So Joe and I will be back after the break. We'll sort of comment on what Emory just had to say. We'll continue to talk through some of the NFL and the Gronk retirement. So does Mike and Joe on FST. We'll be right back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Little West Coast, old school West Coast rap right there. Yeah, that's like your sweet spot.
I love working with the Fantasy Prince.
Yeah.
Sean Engel. You never know what he's gonna come up with next.
Sean Engel producing, good stuff. Rock. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. He had a little
NWA.
That's right. We've gone from NWA to Shaq Fu. We had some Dave Matthews earlier. He's mixing it up. So good information there from Emory. You were telling me during
Absolutely,
the break that you're excited about the Daryl Henderson information. I will tell you that I've talked to Emory multiple times, and that is the guy that he thinks projects the best at the next level. He is well-rounded as a running back, so he can catch passes. Obviously, that's a really important part of what you're trying to do in the NFL now is have that running back passing game be an extension of your running game. So you like the Daryl Henderson news. Why?
I own him in a dynasty league that I'm in. And, hey, look, here's a guy that's flying under the radar. You mentioned that his performance at the Combine kind of was a little lackluster, wasn't as expected. But when you look at this guy, I mean, 8.2 yards per carry over 3 years of his college career. And you mentioned, also able to catch passes out of the backfield. So I love to play in, PPR league. So, looking forward to having him in my lineup this year. And, when I asked Emory in terms of, which wide receivers might be better apt to adjust to the NFL. I mean, it seems that with running backs, it's a little bit easier for them to be fantasy productive from day one, provided that they use the correct way and not part of a committee.
Yeah. So let me ask you how that in that league, so how does that work that you end up with Henderson? When does he get drafted? Who's eligible to be drafted? Explain how that works. You have like a taxi squad of college players in addition to Dynasty?
Yeah. Right now he's on my taxi squad. Requirements for the members of the taxi squad, they have to have 2 years or fewer of, or they could be a college player to be used. And I drafted him. This is going to be the second year of this league. I ended up drafting him on draft day.
Does somebody own Trevor Lawrence, the quarterback in that league? I'm curious how far people look out.
I'd have to, call up the league.
It's fine. I want to put you on the spot, but I'm just curious, how forward-thinking people are, because Trevor Lawrence isn't eligible to be drafted this year or even next year. But, you know, in 20, see, he's got 1 year to, yeah, yeah, he'll have to be the 2021 draft. So I think that's right. Yeah, it'd be the 2021 draft for him. So, well, good stuff there. I part of what you talked about is what I wanted to discuss in this segment, which is the Gronkowski retirement. It happened, it feels like a million years ago, but it happened on Sunday. It probably happened after your show on Sunday, so we've had a maximum amount of time to hear everybody's different takes on it. First of all, do you think that he would come back if he got a call from Tom Brady at some point on the eve of the season or mid-season, or you think Gronk's really shutting it down?
I would say you never say never, you know. I think it was a good move on his part. Look, you know, he hasn't been the same player that we're used to seeing. And outside of just, you know, the on-the-field Gronk, you just want to make sure that this guy could enjoy the rest of his life, right? But his agent didn't leave kind of like made you think that maybe at one point the door might have been open for that. And Gronk is a free spirit.
He specifically left it open. Yeah. Drew Rosenhaus specifically left it open.
Yeah. So Gronk, like I said, Gronk is a, you know, a free spirit. I mean, you know, a lot of these athletes from many sports, you know, once they retire, they just can't replace the, you know, the fire that they get from, you know, from playing in the game. So I wouldn't rule it out.
Yeah. So a couple things here. One, you're right. Gronk's blocking was always a really strong part of his game. He's one of the greatest blocking tight ends in the history of football. We tend to focus on the offensive production because this is a fantasy show. We're talking about fantasy in general. And, yeah, he wasn't the same player. He did look labored. He famously has not spent any of his salary, or he claims he's never spent any of his salary. He's really lived off of endorsements. So he's got a pretty good nest egg of money off of which to live. I honestly hope for his sake, and this isn't me being a Patriots hater of any kind. In fact, I think Gronk has been a ton of fun to watch. I think he's always been kind of the genuine article. I think he's mixed it up with guys like Trey White from Buffalo and, you know, taking cheap shots at him. I think these things sometimes happen in the context of a football game, but I don't think he was a dirty player. I think he had a lot of fun with it. I think he'll continue to have fun with whatever he wants to do, whether it's WWE or whatever else he wants to do. He's not going to be a Shakespearean actor, but he might have some entertainment opportunities. So I honestly hope that he's done. It really did look painful at times for him this year. He's had multiple back surgeries dating back to Arizona. He had the forearm surgeries, which he had to have, I think, four surgeries because he got staph infections and all that kind of stuff. Gronk really took a beating. He was the biggest, best guy out there. But after a while, guys started to realize, well, the only way we're going to take him down is if multiple guys hit him as hard as they can. And it doesn't matter how big you are, Gronk, Cam Newton, I'm talking about you, it's going to take its toll over time.
Absolutely.
It takes a lot to take Cam Newton down, which means they do it. And they use everything in their power to bring him down. So it makes sense that guys like that break down over time as big as they are. They're not immortal. It's just I would like to see Gronk try to remain as healthy as he can for the rest of his life and enjoy it.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, look, you know, how old is Gronk?
I think he's 30.
He's what, 29. Yeah, he's going to be 30, right?
He's going to be 30.
So, yeah. He's got a lot of life left. And, you know, he needs to be able to get out of bed and enjoy life. And, look, you know, like you mentioned, WWE action movie star. Maybe he'll be the new Terminator. But, yeah, so, sometimes, you know.
Could turn up in a Rock movie.
There you go. Yeah, you know? Exactly.
You know, so, it just could be a sidekick in a Rock movie to start it out. But we'll see. So, all right. So as a Giants fan, you know, we talked about this a little bit before. Let's just say the Rosen thing doesn't happen. Let's just eliminate that.
Okay.
You think they take Dwayne Haskins or another quarterback there in the first round? Or are they trading down? What are they doing now?
You know, I was looking at some of these mocks, and some of them have been going after a defensive player, you know, and then later on going after a guy that that Emery said he doesn't like in Daniel Jones. So I think that if they don't, you know, let's say make the trade for Rosen, I think that they probably will draft a quarterback. And I'm a little worried because, like I said, I mean, this isn't the class, you know, of last season. So, you know, Emery didn't like Daniel Jones, but it just seems like, you know, from what you hear about this guy, it might be the guy that they might end up looking towards. I mean, yeah. You know, he's got the Eli and the Peyton, you know, the key to their college coach, right?
Yeah, yeah. David Cutcliffe. And,
yeah. So
I've met David Cutcliffe. Really nice guy. He's a very thoughtful guy, and I think NFL people respect him a ton, which is why. Mm-hmm. They like quarterbacks coming out of his systems, whether it's Peyton or Eli. You saw other guys from Duke make it into the league, even if they weren't impactful. They were good roster additions as backup quarterbacks. So I think that's the thought process here with Jones. He just had his pro day the other day. He ran a really good time. Not that that matters. I think people are just thinking Daniel Jones could be – I think NFL teams like guys like Daniel Jones. Pro-style quarterbacks – Heady can kind of get the job done. And they think that a heady player like that, that does have physical tools, can develop long-term into being a consistent starting quarterback. Whereas if you take the flash in the pan guy, it's a huge risk.
Yeah, and you mentioned, I think you mentioned Haskins, right? I mean, you love what he did at Ohio State, but he's just done it basically for 1 year. And you love his enthusiasm, you know, a Giants fan, a guy that grew up in Jersey. But, yeah, I've seen Jones described as basically a little bit more of an athletic Eli clone. So, you know, when you look at, you know, the Maras and
that's not bad.
Their style. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So, you're getting a guy that's just a little bit more athletic than Jones, and you know, a guy that maybe. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you're into the whole Eli, you know, bringing him in, and maybe Jones just hanging out on the sidelines for a quarter of the season.
That
I don't
could
know.
Happen. That could happen.
Yeah,
yeah. I do think teams. There's no magic bullet to figuring it out. Guys can sit like Aaron Rodgers did and become Hall of Famers. Guys can start right away, like the Notre Dame quarterback, DeShone Kizer, and may never start another NFL game unless somebody gets hurt. You know, the teams do a lot of different things to ruin players or help them. Right now, I'm looking at three different mock drafts. Mel Kiper, Todd McShay, Daniel Jeremiah. All three have Dwayne Haskins' number six pick to the New York Giants. So I think they are overrating the common sense that Dave Gettleman lacks, but anything can happen. Maybe they come to their senses and they just decide to move on. I've said it before. I said I have to apply the same logic, whether it was Mark Sanchez or Mitch Trubisky or Kyler Murray or Dwayne Haskins, I do have concerns. It doesn't mean they can't be successful, but I have really major concerns about guys that haven't played that much, that haven't started that much. And Haskins is an example. He had 50 touchdowns. They were great. But tell me all the Urban Meyer quarterbacks that have been really successful in the NFL.
That's a great point. That is a great point.
Alex Smith.
Yeah.
That's it. It's Tebow and you know, all these other guys, Cardale Jones, all these other guys really haven't been able to do much. So Urban Meyer won a ton of games in college. Did he set guys up to be successful at the next level? I mean, I don't know.
No.
Alex Smith is really the only guy that has had a really long career. He's made a lot of money, and he's been successful. And I think people have actually historically underrated Alex Smith as far as his ability. Doesn't mean he's perfect, but I thought he's been underrated slightly. And, you know, unfortunately, what's going on with him now could be career-ending, but nonetheless, there isn't when those two paths are crossing where he doesn't have a lot of experience, I'm talking about Haskins, and Urban Meyer hasn't produced a lot of successful NFL quarterbacks, and then those are two major points of concern, and I don't know. I'm not saying the Giants have to draft Haskins. I'm not even saying they have to draft a quarterback right there. I'm saying they need to address it now. So it can be Rosen. It could be Haskins. They can move down and then take Daniel Jones, that kind of stuff. They really need to be thinking about moving down in this draft with all the available defensive talent up there that teams want, I think they can move out of that pick and still get a quarterback that they like. So anyway, that's it on the G-men. The Pats, as you said earlier, they have a ton of picks. I don't think they definitely draft one of the tight ends, but I think they'll be looking at it. If they feel really good about one of those tight ends, it wouldn't surprise me if the Pats move up. They have enough draft capital that they can do it.
Yeah, and, you know, we like we mentioned, we discussed this earlier in terms of, you know, what Gronk had brought to the table wasn't just, you know, a receiving target for Brady, but just, having somebody that has great blocking skills. And Noah Fant from Iowa, he's been reading about him in terms of his blocking skills, using some refining a little bit, but he could be a top catch passing tight end. So you get to see what direction they want to go.
Yeah, to talk about my favorite team for a second. I think they're going defense, the Steelers. I'm seeing this mock draft from Daniel Jeremiah. He's saying that it's Greedy Williams. I think there's, if I look at a couple of more mock drafts, they'll talk about guys like the Steelers should try to move up and pick, we'll see who McShay has right here. I'll look what he has. Devin Bush, inside linebacker of Michigan. So I've heard that name a lot, been connected with the Steelers. Now, I don't know that, I doubt Devin Bush will be there at 20. Will the Steelers move up to take somebody like that? It really is. There's been so much drama with the Steelers, Joe. I'm surprised I don't hear this more. McShay actually mentions it here in his write-up. The Steelers started to fall apart the moment Ryan Shazier got hurt, which was two seasons ago.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm.
They played terribly down the stretch of that season, then get upset in the playoffs by Jacksonville. Then they spend all of last year floundering. It was just a mess. You know, they had Bell holding out, which was one drama. Yeah, the ongoing Antonio Brown saga. They were blowing games left and right, whether it's missed field goals against the Browns, four turnovers against the Broncos, losing to the Raiders, turning the ball over at the end of the Saints game. Like, all of those things contributed to that was the type of team they are. I'm not suggesting they had bad breaks. They made a lot of mistakes. The Steelers were a terribly mistake-prone team last year that couldn't get stops because their middle linebackers weren't good enough. And frankly, even though they've addressed the position of corner, they still continued to struggle there in the defensive backfield. They drafted a safety last year to try to get it fixed. In fact, Mike Tomlin threw Artie Burns, a former first-round draft pick, under the bus the other day in a weekly press conference. So he's like, I'm not a little bit disappointed. I'm disappointed. He needs to be better. We need to see more out of him. So, you know, putting players on notice like that mean that they really don't like you. So this is your last shot. And it may work, or the guy might get ticked off and leave, like they had Morgan Burnett do earlier this month. Just said he wanted out, so they ditched him. So, anyway, middle linebacker, defensive back. That's where the Steelers are going. I almost guarantee that. I'd be surprised if they did anything else. So, all right, we'll come back in hour number three, get back to a little bit of baseball and the news of the day. It's Mike and Joe on FST. Hour number three coming up. Thanks for listening on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We'll be right back.